want to say first that when I came up and I heard that there was a dean of the conference, and I thought, that is so Berkeley. I have never been a part of a conference that had a dean. But now I know why Matt is a dean and not just an MC. That was beautiful. That was something that a mere MC could never have pulled off. So that was wonderful. I really liked that. I feel a little bit today like I've snuck into somebody else's family reunion. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling when you're in a restaurant and someone in the other room seems like they're having a lot more fun than you are, and you kind of wish you could join their table. And I felt that today, walking around, just seeing the love and the connection, and as someone who's in the stage, the empty nesting stage of life, to see all these kids, it has just been joyful, incredibly joyful. And I'm just so grateful to get to be a part of your party this weekend. Thank you very much for that. I almost went to your church as a college student because I almost went to Cal. And I know I would have gone to your church if I'd gone to Cal. I actually even had a Regent scholarship, was all set to go. And my young life leader, Betsy Burnham, had asked me if I'd ever thought of going to a Christian college. And I had never even heard of a Christian college. I was a brand new Christian. I became a Christian through Young Life, my junior year in high school. And so I didn't even know what a Christian college was. She asked me to come over to her house and showed me her Wheaton College yearbook. And in one of those, I could count on one hand the times that I've really felt God very directly intervening and moving me from one direction to another. And after I'd already been accepted, I don't even know how it happened as I look back on it now, in the 11th hour, I ended up going to Wheaton College instead of Cal. So I'm sorry about that. But I did, though, my senior year in college, I had a chance to interview Earl Palmer, who, that was in probably 1980 or 81, was your pastor then, because I was a senior at Wheaton and was wanting to do my honors thesis on how ministers handle the role of counseling in the church. And just to tell you a little bit about me, just so that you know kind of where I'm coming from as we start today with this mixture of clinical psychology and being a pastor, I became interested in that when I was working in a youth group. I started my freshman year and worked in the youth group at Glen Ellen Presbyterian Church the whole time I was at college. And in this youth group, I began to notice that the kids that were hurting, the kids that had some issues in their family, some of the kids that had depression, some that you could tell had an eating disorder, the ones that were struggling, began to kind of sit more and more towards the edges of the room. And then pretty soon they began to not even come in the door. And then they would kind of disappear. And a lot of times, to be honest, the youth leaders, and I was one of them, almost felt a sigh of relief because these kids were hard to deal with. And nobody really knew that much what to do with someone that was hurting like that. And it really, God planted a seed in my heart at that time of, these are people that are not able to hear the gospel because there's something going on in their mind, in their heart, in their life that's getting in the way of them being able to hear. Just as if you came to church with a pounding toothache or a migraine headache, you couldn't sit there and concentrate. And in a similar way, I began to see how kids that had emotional and sometimes mental disabilities couldn't receive the grace and the truth and the love of God. So even though I had a C in statistics, and I didn't know if I'd ever get into graduate school, I applied to Fuller because it was the only school at that time where I could get a PhD in clinical psych that was approved by the APA, and that was important to me. I wanted it to be a good program, and I could also get a Master of Divinity in theology. And I wanted to bring together what I could learn as a psychologist into the ministry of the church. And that's been my passion and my gift and an enormous privilege I've had for the past 25 years. And I'm as excited about it today as, and I took this off. I think I'm gonna need help here, Michael. Oh no, I got it, I think I'm okay. I'll just bend it out a little bit, there I go. I'm as excited about it today as I was 25 years ago. And retreats like this, when I get a setting to come and open up the Word of God and talk about what I've learned in my work as a psychologist and integrate that with Scripture, it is just joyful to me. So thank you very, very much for this privilege to get to come and share this with you. It felt like the big party going on, and part of what I'm going to be bringing to the potluck is some reflections on God's Word. You have enormous history here. You have an enormous amount of connection. I can feel that. And such a depth. So many traditions. I mean, this has been going on for over 50 years this weekend. So I'm really happy that I get to come and bring some reflections on trees. And part of why I want to do this about trees, this is a retreat that I first developed a few years ago at a place called Lady Lodge in Texas. And I had the privilege of doing this retreat with an amazing woman named Ann Grizzle. And the musician of that retreat, and I was so thrilled I got to do a retreat with her, was Sarah Groves. And I'm going to be playing a little bit of her music tomorrow at one of my talks. But in this retreat, we began exploring that theme of deep roots and wide branches. And Ann is someone who's worked a lot with a group called Women of Vision, an affiliate of World Vision. And so Ann was teaching us a lot about the branches part, and I was looking a lot at what it meant to sink down our roots deep. Where do we draw strength from? Where do we get our nurturance? And it's been a theme that I've continued to kind of play with, so I'm excited to explore that together with all of you today. So let's start now by looking at Psalm 1. And what I'd like you to do as I read this psalm, I'd like you to close your eyes, and I would like you to imagine yourself as this tree. And as I read the words about the roots and the streams of water, I want you to, in a quiet, contemplative way, try to imagine what is it that your roots are seeking this weekend. What is it you are thirsty for? What is it that you're needing to draw in terms of nourishment or strength or repair? And just let this be a time when God is communicating something that God's wanting to give you this weekend. So Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The happy ones, the faithful ones, the prosperous ones, are like trees. What images came up for you, even as you were imagining yourself as a tree? What images or feelings or pictures do you get when you think of yourself as a tree? The first thing that came up for me as I was thinking of a bike trip that I took last summer. Mike and I and our kids have another family that we vacation with for a week every summer, and we take turns family to family planning the trip. And last year, our family planned the trip, and we planned a bike and camping trip, and we started up, I think the little town was called Scotia, right at the top of the Redwoods, and we rode the first day 30 miles through the Redwoods, and then we went over to the coast and then rode down Highway 1, and our last day we rode our bikes across the Golden Gate Bridge. It was a blast, camped out along the way. But that first day riding, I'd never been in the Redwoods like that before. I mean, we have Redwoods here all around us, but they were amazing up there. And what was so fun, and I felt kind of guilty because I was the only one that was on the back of a tandem. Everybody else had all their own bikes. So even though I was pedaling, I was pedaling the whole time, but I could take my hands off and I could look up, and I just got to ride through the Redwoods just with my head lifted and gazing at these amazing, majestic, incredible creatures. I mean, it just filled me with such awe and such joy to get to soak that in. So the first thing when I think of trees, and we're trying to kind of let our mind and our spiritual imagination try to think with the psalmist of how trees have a lot to teach us about what it is to flourish and to prosper and to be happy. So my first images of trees, I think of the words history and majesty and strength, permanence. There's something about trees, isn't it, that evoke weathering, lots of seasons. The next tree that comes to my mind that's been a very important part of my spiritual life was an apricot tree, which is no longer with us. In fact, the day this tree died, my friend had to have it removed from her house. I was in my office seeing patients. I never pick up my phone, never pick up my phone, very, very, very rarely. And I was in between patients and the phone rang, and for some reason I just picked it up. And it was my friend Anita, and she said through her tears, "Laura, I just had to tell you the apricot tree is being uprooted right now and taken away. It died, and I had to have it removed from the yard." And we both wept together over this apricot tree. I've never cried over the death of a tree before. But this tree had become such a significant symbol to me of God's faithfulness. It was a tree that had been planted right outside of Anita's living room window. And during a season in my life where I was much more like chaff than I was like a planted tree, I was going through years of separation and then divorce and then singleness. And as someone that was on the staff of First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood and a Christian therapist, I had no idea if anyone would want to still come see me as a therapist since I was going through a divorce. Who wants to come for marital therapy to someone who's divorced? I remember the day I drove to work, and it was the first day I'd taken my rings off, and just feeling so naked and so exposed and so afraid that everything was going to unravel. And so it was a very, very painful season in my life. But every Friday, my friend Anita and my friend Beth and I, we were all Christian psychologists. Whenever we'd finish up our work on Friday, we would meet at Anita's house at about 4 o'clock, and we called it the beginning of our Sabbath. And we would light a candle, and we'd put the kids in the backyard with juice boxes and crackers or something. Tell them not to come in unless major blood was shed. Small scratches, handle it. And we would sit in Anita's living room, and we'd start with 15 minutes of just quiet. We'd open up scripture together. We'd listen for God's word and the scripture for each other. Sometimes we would rub each other's feet. We'd pray. They flanked me during that desert season. And they prayed me into health. And they prayed me through that time when I felt like chaff. And that apricot tree, this was a period of about 5 years. And that apricot tree that was right outside that window became a spiritual icon, a symbol for me of God's faithfulness. Because I would watch that apricot tree, and I became so attached to it when it would lose its leaves. And then when the buds would come. And then the flowers. And then the fruit. And then it's just summer fullness. And then it would lose it again. And then it would come. And so this tree was this reminder to me that there will be seasons of barrenness, but spring is coming. You will bear fruit again, Laura. You will have flowers. In fact, when I was remarried to Tim's roommate, Mike, that verse we used from Song of Solomon was that the time... the winter rains have passed, the time of singing has come, the flowers appear on the land, and it was a time when God did indeed, about 8 years ago, bring me into a new season that has been unbelievable flourishing for me. But I know what it's like to not be there, and a tree, that apricot tree, was a powerful reminder to me to not give up, and to know that like that tree, I could move again into a season of growth and flowers and fruit. And then going back even further, another spiritual memory of a tree before I even knew Jesus. I grew up in a non-Christian home. My dad was a physician in the army, very independent, very self-reliant. And our Bible were the Time Life books. Whenever you had any question, you'd go to that set of kind of encyclopedias. And to be a good person and an honest person and a hardworking person, that was flourishing in our family. And so growing up in a family like that, I didn't know Jesus, but I was very drawn to trees. And a long period of time in my childhood, climbing trees was my very favorite activity. And I have a clear memory of this huge tree, I don't know what kind it was, in front of Mary Murphy's front yard. And Mary Murphy's mom didn't like it that we were in that tree all the time because we would climb up really high. And one time, Lynn Beerwinkle, that really was her name, fell and broke her arm. And so Mary's mom did not like the liability that came with this beautiful big tree, but she could not keep us out of it. And I remember so many times, images of that tree remind me of sanctuary, of a hiding place. I would love to get really, 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 really high up, and no one even knew that I was up there. And that tree felt safe. And I felt a deep connection with nature. And I think a part of me, a longing for God that I didn't recognize and have words for at that time. But that's another way that a tree for me is a picture of God's presence, of God's sanctuary, of a hiding place. I would love to hear stories that you have of trees. And I'm sure that many of you have amazing relationships with trees in your life. You know, and trees, like all of creation, bear the image and the nature of God. All of creation declares and shouts out the glory of God. But there's something special, I think, about trees. Something unique about trees. Think of how Scripture begins and ends with some powerful images of trees. In the Garden of Eden, the tree that has the fruit that actually tempts Adam and Eve to try to gain wisdom without submission to God. And it's that tree that's the beginning of the separation. And in Revelations 22, this tree we're going to talk about this Sunday morning, the tree that's leaves are for healing. Again, that's by the river of life and the tree of life. We're going to look at that. And then look at, in the whole middle of the story, the tree of Calvary, the tree that changes everything. So this connection between trees and God's story and our story, and the happy ones, the faithful ones are like trees planted by streams of water. A few weeks ago, I was down at Fuller at a conference that Mark Labberton's Preaching Institute put on, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Jenny was very involved in making that happen, and it was an amazing experience. And one of the concepts that Mark talked about his first night was the concept of flourishing, and that God calls us to flourish. And some of the words that I wrote down that he was talking about with regard to flourishing is, he said, flourishing involves community and beauty and passion and joy and meaningful work. This is the life that God has intended us for. This is the tree that's planted by streams of water, whose leaves are not withering. And I want to ask you a question. This is a question that comes up in my office as a psychologist all the time. Why are you not flourishing? What parts of your life are not flourishing? Because I can take a guess and bet that for many of you, I would say for all of us, we long for more flourishing in our life, don't we? More of that community and passion and beauty and joy and feeling filled up. And for me, whenever I do a retreat, and this is something that I really take this time for myself as well, even as I'm wanting to facilitate this for you, I really hope that this weekend will be a time, as you unhook from your routines, as you don't have your regular obligations to fulfill, hopefully you've got some time and space tomorrow to walk, to reflect, that you will make a spiritual assessment of what you're doing with regard to your flourishing. One of the things that I think comes up for me as a therapist more than a lot is people stop even trying to flourish. They've given up on flourishing. You know what I mean? That people end up thinking that that's a fairy tale, or maybe that's just something that will happen in heaven, or maybe for someone who's way more spiritual than I am, or didn't have the background that I have, or the marriage that I have, or the health condition that I have. And so many, many people stop seeing flourishing, being that tree planted by streams of water, as even a possibility for them. And I can tell you, if you've stopped imagining that for yourself, hoping for that for yourself, believing that that's even possible, and you've just somehow started to settle for getting through the day. If I just get through the day, Laura, that's good enough. If I just get through without yelling at the kids, if I can just make it, that's a good day. That's not the kind of days that God has for us at all. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to look at that. Where are you flourishing and where are you not flourishing? Are you flourishing at all? And if you're not, why not? Have you stopped hoping? Have you stopped addressing, talking? The other part we're going to look at is where are your branches? In a sense, the branches define the shape of a tree. And that's the other part I think we have to really look at. What shape are you in? What kind of shape? What is the shape of your life? And are you allowing the Spirit to continue to shape you in the way that God wants you to be shaped? Growing. Because in our relationship with God, just like in our marriages or in our very close friendships, relationships with our children, if we're not growing, we're dying. There's no such thing as stagnant unless you're plastic. I have a plastic ficus tree in my office, although it's a really nice one that I paid a lot of money for. It's actually silk. It's not plastic. But it's not real. But that's because in real life, I'm a horrible gardener. And it's something I feel ashamed of, literally. I feel like it's some bad mark on my soul that I can't keep things alive very well. And it's mostly, I think, because I get distracted and I forget to water. Pretty simple. But I am not a good gardener. It's one of the longings of my life to become better. And I'll try, and I'll spend a ridiculous amount of money at the nursery, and my husband just kind of rolls, how long is this going to last? And then they all die on my patio, and I throw them out, and I try again. One friend said that I commit repetitive planticide. I'm a serial plant killer. But the reality is my silk plant does great. And it has like real wood trunk, so I fake people out all the time. They think I'm a good gardener and that it's a real tree. And probably as I'm thinking of it right now, that maybe isn't a great image in a therapist's office. Because I was just thinking, I think too many of us live like that. We live like that. We like the fake tree that looks good all the time, rather than the real tree that we need to look at. Why are we dying? Where are we dying? Where are we flourishing? What's working? What's not working? Do we need to water less or water more or put some kind of amendment in the soil? What are we needing? Are we needing to be transplanted so that we can sink our roots down and flourish, really flourish? And so that is my goal this weekend, is I want to challenge and stimulate and inspire each one of you to grow. And often we have to start growing by looking where we're dying and know the places in our life that need attention. And to have the courage to look at that, because that is not an easy thing to look at. And one of the main things why therapy really make a difference in people's lives is that people that are in this field help people look at the things they're trying to run away from and avoid, and pointing out that's a fake ficus tree. And so I hope as we look at some different passages of scripture, tomorrow morning I'm going to look at John 4 and look at the woman at the well. And the part of that passage that I'm going to be focusing on is when Jesus says, there is a time coming when you will worship me in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to look at that phrase of what it means to worship in spirit and in truth with relation to roots and branches. And then tomorrow evening, we're going to look more at the fearfulness of stretching out our branches. What makes it hard for us to be places where people can build and to find shelter. And then we'll end up on Sunday morning looking at the image of the tree in the book of Revelation, the tree who has the leaves that are for healing, and look at the role that each of us have in our lives as healers. So I'm excited about it. I'm very excited. And I hope we all grow this weekend. And if any of you, I have a couple, already some time set up with some people. If there's some things that you would like to talk about in your own life, I won't have an unlimited amount of time because I want some time to be on retreat myself as well this weekend. But if some of you have something that you'd really like to spend a little time talking with me about too, just know that's part of what I love to do when I'm on retreats like this as well, is to spend time with you and walk with you and listen as well. So please come up, and if I have time available, I will let you know that. So be nurtured, be fed and watered this weekend by the laughter and the games and midnight dodgeball and ice cream sundaes, but also let the living water, the only place where the real source of that kind of family joy and happiness can be found, the place where this kind of community and passion and love that you're feeling this weekend is never ending. May you sink your roots down even deeper this weekend into the truth and the reality and the grace and the love of God. So let's pray together. Lord, as we sang in our first song, this has been the phrase that's been on my mind all day today. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see this weekend. Lord, help us to be authentic and honest and real about the dead places in our life where we're not flourishing, to talk about that with someone we love or trust, so that we can be helped and guided to send our roots down deep, deep, deep into your river of life. Lord, help us grow deep in your presence so that we may also grow wide in your service, because we love you. We are your people. And we know that the way you have for us is the way of flourishing. So come, Lord Jesus. Teach us, grow us, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.